What a big day in science. Yes.
What a big day in science.
Big day, big news. Yeah.
Hello, listeners. So today's episode, you'll notice, I think it's a title we've used before.
Oh, God, we're recycling titles already. That's great. Well, I mean,
it's kind of
a big day.
I was going to say it's a big day. It's kind of a recycling of a concept. So today's episode, we're going to talk about
scatological. Is it going to be a scatological reference?
It's not going to be a scatological reference, I swear.
Oh, darn. Okay.
Actually, no, wait. I have a really good idea for a title. So we're not going to use the title disclosure. Actually, we're going to use unidentified ass phenomena. Or whap, because I think that's really funny. Today's episode, we're talking about disclosure and what it means, what the recent UFO news, you know, are we excited? Are we not excited? What do we think about it?
Are
What's going
excited?
On?
So as a layperson in this field, I would look at this news and assume someone in your storied tenure studying this, Christopher, Dr. Cogswell, would be just so happy finally and so pleased because finally the world writ large is paying attention and giving it the credence it deserves. Would I be right?
Jake, roll the tape. All right.
So that's a yes.
So that's a definitive yes. All right. So for listeners that haven't really been following the UFO hoopla and stuff that's going on. So a number of stories. So the initial story was the Tic Tac event and then the Gimbal and Go Fast videos that were released by Lou Elizondo and his, at the time, his team at To the Stars Academy, or the people that he was working with at To the Stars Academy. And so those videos showed objects that appeared to be moving quickly, but within I'd say a couple of months, public opinion had kind of shifted on them. So the way that this story has gone and the way that UFO history has gone is people put out evidence and then they get attached to wacky people. And so, and I as someone who's into UFOs and as someone who like really, you know, really likes this subject, it's kind of tragic. It happens.
You're attached to me and I'm a wacky person.
Well, but no, but bump. It's different, you know.
Famous wacky. No, I'm with you.
Famously wacky. Marie Mayhew. Wacky. So the problem is, and this has kind of been our, right, I say our, just because I'm used to on Twitter being like, you know, because I have a co-host, but it's my opinion that, like, I think right now it's kind of on a knife's edge. You have people taking it more seriously. But what always happens is, like, look at John Maloney, right? We did that episode. We did that whole series on John Maloney. That guy was involved in, like, government talks on UFOs. John Maloney then went on a scavenger hunt with his wife, alien hybrid, through the Arizona desert for chakra points. You know, so there's a
slippery slope.
Well, kind of a slippery slope, I guess. There's a tendency or history of people come out, they look super credible, they say all this cool stuff, and then within a year, they're speaking at alien conferences, talking about, you know, hybrid children. And chakras and energy crystals and all this other stuff.
Yeah. So talk to me just really briefly about like the Tic Tac event and how it went from credible. And then what you think, like for those early things, what happened to sort of decay that?
It's not even that it's like not credible. The problem is like, for me, I think it's more an issue of, like, people into UFOs think that if they just get the right picture, or if they just get the right piece of evidence or the right witness, that all of the public and science and politicians are going to come out and be like, oh my God, you guys are right. Aliens are real. And, you know, like, they,
dam's going to break.
Right. They really do believe, I think, that it's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of one thing, one piece of evidence that means the dam's going to break. But even if an alien, like, landed on the White House lawn, a lot of their beliefs aren't going to be true or accepted. You know, so I mean, like, the majority of people, like, right now, the story that's being pushed out in the media is that this is a military issue, that this is a national security issue, that, like, there are airships or something incurring, you know, coming into our airspace.
Yeah.
And that's a threat to us. And so we need to take this seriously. But that's not what the majority of people who are into UFOs think. Like, most people into UFOs think that, like, abductions are happening, or they've been here in the ancient past, or all of these other things. So it's not a military thing. It's a bigger thing. You know, it's, and so on Twitter, like, I had this rant yesterday, basically, because we'll get into it in a moment here, but you know, people are acting like this is just like, oh, this is so serious, this is national security, whatever. It's not. Like, is it serious or is it not? You can't have it both ways. You know, well, you can't play footsie with, like, metaphysical, you know, CE5, like, take mushrooms and speak to the elder gods, or, you know, go to Aleister Crowley or whatever. Like, you can't play footsie with that community, but then also say, no, but this is, like, a military thing.
Yeah. Well, so in my opinion, the biggest problem with military and the national security thing is, like, let's pretend that these are what they, you know, again, foreign airships coming from some other place. If they are, I'm going to still call them UFOs because I'm just old school that way. Then would the technology that they would have to have had to get here from wherever they are kind of means that they could have obliterated us pretty easily. So they're not that, to me, it's like, well, if they wanted to have done something to humanity, they probably would have done it by now. Is my two cents. It's not a threat, because it's like, they are clearly, if they are aliens, they are clearly superior beings with the technology that we are not capable of, and they have not done anything.
Yeah. I mean,
if they are not aliens and they are some other, you know, nation states' advanced technology, I just don't know if that's the case either, because to me, it's like, I don't know, not to be overly patriotic, but I just don't know of another country that has the capability, or even in recent decline, that would be able to do something like that.
Yeah. I mean,
honestly,
we argue, like, okay, I completely agree with you. Like, the argument that,
there's a lot to unpack.
No, there is. But the argument that, like, if these are, calling them adversarial, we're making them adversarial. They haven't done anything to us.
They're just floating around and then taking off really fast.
Right. Like
they might be here for White Castle. We don't know.
The humans have developed.
You don't know.
Look at this biological weapon. Look at what it can do to us.
Look at what it could do to us.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, I think it's a really good point. I mean, if they are adversarial, or if, you know, again, I guess it's sort of that, you know, to a chipmunk, everything looks like a hawk. You know, it's like a bad analogy, but, like, you know, we feel threatened by them, so we turn them into a threat, but they might not be a threat. The other part of it, too, I think, or so the. So, okay, the timeline here. So this initial video comes out. And then initially, like, in the very beginning, my take on them was, like, these are really cool, this is exciting, whatever. But then, like, very quickly, I started getting concerned, because the people who were pushing the story as serious were involved in people from, like, the Bigelow Group. you know, who I don't consider to be serious or good for this, you know, good for this thing, you know, whatever you call ufology or whatever the hell it is. Right. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you're putting out this evidence, like, again, I think
you consider them not good because they're not based in scientific principles. It's not just that, you know, you don't agree with their politics or you don't like the t-shirt they're wearing, whatever. It's like, it's based in science.
It's not even necessarily like it is based in science. It's more based in like public relations, though. Like if I, you know, if I'm trying to sell you. If I'm trying to sell you a new pair of sneakers, I don't hire. I don't hire like you hire the best people, right? You hire people like you hire athletes, you hire people credible. With like squeaky clean images. You hire people that are credible talking about like, hey, this shoe makes me play better, whatever. Right.
Right.
But you also like probably don't hire Dennis Rodman. Because he says crazy shit all the time, and it's just gonna bring crap down on you and your brand and your company. You know?
Agreed.
So it's almost more of a PR thing for me. Like you know,
but the PR stuff that they're saying, the stuff that they're saying is not scientifically based. That's what I'm getting at. It's right. Crazy shit.
No, yeah, it is. It's like right? It's like, you know, it's again, it's like chain smoking werewolves. You know, there's a book on it. There's a book they wrote on it. Like, and so it's just, to me, it's again, UFO people want to think that like scientists are both, or the public or whatever, people that don't believe in UFOs are both sheep easily swayed by public opinion and propaganda and the media and whatever, but also these paragons of virtue. Who, if they were just given the right photo, it doesn't matter who it comes from, because you're just going to be so swayed by the evidence.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that what you brought up is sort of an interesting like dichotomy with this entire thing. Right. Cause it's like, it inevitably kind of dissolves into the faux science metaphysic kind of thing, which is, you know, again, like I don't, it's almost like a question of faith or a question of quasi-religious sort of overtones, right? Like there's something bigger than humans out there. And that's almost where we end up going when we can't process it or when we don't, I don't know. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know why it's not enough to have these things be credible and start to your point, associating and not let it dissolve into that. Like, I don't know where that starts to happen and why. Is that where the money is? Is that, you know, what the inevitability of this stuff is? Do you kind of know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
It feels like you're right. Like every time something like this comes up a year, you know, 18 months later, they're at, you know, some kind of alien con. You know, with the ancient alien dude, which again, you know, to me, it's like, well, you've already poisoned the well.
I honestly think part of it is a view that the ends justify the means, that all of that other stuff that comes along with UFO belief or whatever, none of that actually matters because you are going to push your view with this huge group of people. You know,
which is not, so, I think, naive and
exactly. Yeah. I think it's
falsity, right?
You're playing with fire. Yeah. You know, you're playing with fire. And that's the thing that I guess a lot of skeptics have gotten heat for or whatever is coming out, especially, you know, especially like I've come out and said this pretty frankly, like, you know, I think you made two good points. The first one is
it.
Yes. The first good point. The first good point for sure is definitely that this, you kind of think of this as like devolving into religious. I actually think the military stuff or the science for a lot of people is the veil. Like it's like the thin candy coating over the heart of religious metaphysics stuff. Even the,
so you think that's what they want to get to?
Like, well, yeah, like even like say the group of people that worked on Skinwalker Ranch. Like they, you know, we know from our series and from everything else, they came from a history of like psychic studies and kind of non-materialist science, metaphysics, stuff like
phenomenon.
That.
Phenomenon.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not, these aren't nuts and bolts craft. This is a phenomena, right? This is who knows what this is, whatever. This is a psychic thing. This is whatever. So, you know, and again, and like, there's nothing wrong. Like, I don't have anything actually personally against that view necessarily. Like, I don't agree with it, but there's a lot of philosophers, academics, thinkers, whoever, who have those sorts of views that, like, you know, there's a God out there, or there's angels and demons, or we are
somehow all interconnected.
Right. A lot of people have those views and aren't like stupid or silly or ridiculous or whatever. But again, it's sort of like a wanting it to be both ways. You know what I mean? It's like it's the hypocrisy of it. I think that's the most concerning, because again, from the religious side, or kind of what you said, again, totally agree. But I think it's actually, I actually don't think it's like a devolving into religiousness. I think it's just like it popping its real head out, because it's always religious. It's always religious based. Like, even like an abduction experience, right? Like, that in some ways is a physical experience that happens to people. But it's also like, if you talk to people, like, remember Kyle on our episode with him, like,
I think of him. I actually think of him every so often and hope he's doing well.
Yeah, me too. Kyle, reach out. You know, I even yesterday on Twitter, I had an experiencer reach out to me and say, like, you know, hey, your tweets made me feel stupid and bad. And I was like, dude, I don't want you to feel that way. Like, I don't think you should feel stupid. This is, you know, my dad, when he went under surgery when I was a kid, said that he died and he saw hell. Mm. And it like made him turn into a good person for like a week and a half, you know, which is like a super long time for my dad. But you know what I mean? Like, but you know, people that I like respect and love have had experiences. Like, so again, it's not that I'm discounting people's experiences or anything. It's just that if you come at this, or you start with this from a metaphysical perspective, then you don't need to try to measure it. Yeah. Right. Like, you're not, you know what I mean? Like, it's like if you had a statue of the Virgin Mary that was crying blood, you wouldn't start measuring how much blood she outputs per day, or like get a chemical test done on the blood or whatever. Right. Like, you would believe.
Right.
Well, I think it's happened.
I think that you've just cleaved the Gorgon's knot. Right. I mean, there's faith and there's science. Right. And somewhere between the two is a pretty big distinction. It's the Virgin Mary statue is a pretty good example. Like, OK, well, you either believe that is happening and that is a religious experience, and you are the conduit to which, you know, you're experiencing it, or you're trying to figure out what is the science behind that happening. Right. And I think the thing that kind of throws me is when you start to look at these UFO phenomenons and experiencers, you know, is it something in human nature that we just want something bigger than us, that there's some part of our brain that's hardwired to want to be kind of under the guidance or protection, or I hate to say governance, but sort of that, like, of a higher power.
Yeah, it's like right? the.
It's almost like it goes back to free will and kind of like the whole thing. Like, are we happier as a species if we are? I don't want to say subjected. Like, it's sort of rhetoric, but you know what I mean. It's like, do we need that God? Do we need some sort of higher being to protect us? Or is it, and is that just something that's in our headspace? And so everything that we experience, we kind of have to have that. That's where we go, because that's sort of what we're hardwired for.
Well, it's interesting.
I'm not trying to crap on people that are religious either. It's like, I honestly don't know that, because I know under times of extreme duress, that is something that goes through my head. Right. So I'm wondering if that's part of our nature.
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, totally. I think that the it's funny, actually, you actually made me think about. So this weekend, my wife had off. Mm-hmm. So we were watching war documentaries on Netflix.
As you do,
like any married couple in a loving relationship. And so
that's super romantic.
So romantic.
And we were watching some Hitler documentaries.
We were watching one on the Russian Revolution. And I think it's called the Russian Revolution. It was pretty good. It was a little fast. I think it kind of like glossed over some stuff. Like the point between like Lenin goes to Germany and the Romanov dynasty is like having a hard time with World War One. And then there was revolution. It's like literally that fast. Like they're just like, and then there was revolution. It's like, well, why? Like what happened? But anyways,
it's
whatever.
Some stuff.
But in that documentary, they talked about how after like the first, like, so there was an initial revolution in like 19. Oh, God, I don't even know. Like there was an earlier revolution.
17, right?
Yeah. There was one that was like even the winter. Occur. Yeah, there was one that was like the winter revolution or like the early revolution. Mm-hmm. And that one just led to like the formation of the Duma, which is like Russia's version of like a kind of Senate or parliament, I guess. And then there was the second revolution that was like the actual one that like Lenin and them, you know, co-opted and turned. They turned it into like, you know, the Soviet Union. But so after during the second one, in the time between when Lenin and Trotsky, like Lenin came back from Germany and then him and Trotsky, like, you know, founded basically the Soviet Union and called for power to the Soviets or whatever, there was kind of like a weird inner period where there was the parliamentary government, and then there was the Soviet government. Mm-hmm. And so the two of them were like kind of working together. And the reason that they had that going essentially was like a big part of the populace was like, we want a czar. Like, we still want a czar. We just like don't want him to like it's almost like the UK model, right? Like, that's what they kind of wanted. They were like, we want a czar who like takes care of us.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, even in theory.
Right.
Even
it's like abstract, it's like the New Testament the czar. Right. Yeah. And so I kind of, you know, I mean, I don't know. Maybe people just want to have someone to like take care of them or whatever it is. But again, though, I think that kind of discounts, like, I don't think a lot of people having experience or events are lying.
No, you know what I mean? Think they are either.
Maybe those events are seen through the lens of like wanting to believe or whatever it is. You know what I mean? But like,
or they actually occur. I don't. Yeah. I mean, I'm with you on it. I'm just am wondering about almost like you said, the inevitability of that happening, of it going into some sort of quasi-religious thing. And if you are an experiencer and you have an actual real event like Kyle, right, and that you actually are experiencing something, I think that the mechanism of the culture around you is what's going to all of a sudden drive that and change that experience.
Yeah, well,
into something else. Yeah. Not what actually happened, but what is perceived to have happened through sort of the cultural, the bigger cultural lens, which you cannot. You can't get out of that vacuum.
No, it's in my opinion. It's kind of a funny argument that like the ancient alien guys like kind of get right, I think, actually, which is, you know,
this is a first.
Oh, my God.
you just acknowledge they got something right.
But, you know, it will. Sweet. Well, it's, no, again, it's like an idea that they've it's an idea that's just in the kind of literature and whatever. But like, you know, this idea that a metaphysical experience or like all of your experiences are seen through the lens of your culture and society, you know. Yeah. So to someone in our time, you know, maybe seeing having a religious experience, they view that as an alien experience because they don't allow themselves to think about like a divine being like that, you know. But anyways, so
disclosure. Okay. Sorry.
So disclosure. So, what happened with recent disclosure, I guess. So you had, okay, you have those. So first off, I guess we should probably talk about what does disclosure mean? For disclosure is that event that we mentioned before where UFO people believe that like there's a moment where the government finally comes out and says aliens are real, and it changes everyone. It changes everyone's opinions and everything else. The problem is that probably isn't going to happen. And so what they think, like what they believe will happen with it is kind of a bunch of different things. You know, I mean, some of them think that like this is going to be the government will come out and all the info will be released and it'll bring in like a new age of techno, like technological superiority or something. Some people think that like it's going to come out and it's just going to, you know, change the world to thinking that this is a real psychic phenomena. And so this metaphysics stuff is real and we'll start studying it. And some people, frankly, just want to be able to like tell the haters to go fuck themselves. You know, like that's a part of it, too, you know,
totally reasonable,
which is absolutely reasonable
human response,
totally reasonable human response. Totally. But so initially, the group of people that were kind of leading disclosure or kind of pushing for it were like Lou Elizondo and his team. And then essentially, again, the concerns of like, well, Tom DeLonge is out there talking about like Atlanteans and, you know, psychic stuff and whatever. And it's like, okay, well, then is this a military thing or is it metaphysics? Or do you think that like Marco Rubio wants to investigate Atlanteans? Like what is, you know, what is like, how is this taken seriously then? I guess those issues came to a head and then those people, Lou and Mellon and the other people involved in TTSA left. And so then they're now kind of pushing on their own. And so that's one area where like Lou Elizondo and Chris Mellon have been extremely successful is in making the case that this is like a military issue. This is a national security issue. This is a defense issue. But on the periphery still, you have people making the cases for all those other views on UFO stuff. And kind of like they're basically taking this kind of like, you know, it's not a super clean message because Elizondo has done a lot of interviews and there's a lot of like, you know, he has made some metaphysical claims and whatever and all this other stuff. But like in terms of like to the people that matter, the important kind of message has been this is a military issue. But you have other people kind of like trying to hang their coattails on that to then say, no, but look, he really means this is a metaphysical issue. Or like, no, but look, he really means that this is like, fuck you, skeptics. Or he really means that this is, you know, whatever. And so and one of those viewpoints has been that what they really mean is that this is like the public needs to get involved and push and push and push for disclosure. Now, that is a little bit scary. Right? That is a little bit different than, oh, you know, these government people are going to make this happen or we need to go through normal channels or whatever. It's a little bit more concerning. And so
I would agree with that.
One of the people kind of pushing not. And I know, again, I don't think like necessarily meaning to push like a, it's not violent necessarily. It's just like active, being active. You know, you have to be active in this. You have to activate to make disclosure happen. One of the people really at the forefront of that argument is Jeremy Corbell, who, again, like talking about, you know, well, links to like stories that don't make sense or whatever. He famously made a documentary on Bob Lazar, who, again, like, I don't think anyone in their right mind can say Bob Lazar is not a fraud. You know, he. And so him and George Knapp, again, kind of, so this kind of angle or this kind of side of things that, again, these other people have been trying, I think, kind of hard to separate from this other group now of like Knapp and Corbell and their people have been pushing the angle of like, this is a phenomena. This is, it's a military thing, but like maybe they're non-physical or whatever. But yesterday he posted a thing on Twitter that basically said, or not basically said, it did say, I'm not done with UFOs until the bodies hit the floor.
What does that even mean?
So it's kind of ridiculous. It's kind of ridiculous, right? It's the argument or kind of the thing that people are saying is like, well, when, you know, let the bodies hit the floor is this song from Drowning Pool. It's like this metal song from the 90s or 2000s or whatever that like I've heard and know of. And of course, knew the lyric. But like, you know, that is like not. It's not a normal thing. It's a bad thing to say. You know,
it's just a stupid thing to say. That will. And the reason that is stupid is, I think the one thing you can probably, again, like I, the one thing I would probably put out there, if there is some sort of UAPs, UFOs coming in, that their technology is that much advanced, right? Again, like they are clearly, if this is the case, if this is the true scenario, that they are that much more advanced than we can even imagine. I don't think you want that type of an escalation with something that is like that, or that you're trying to find out with through escalation for something that is like that. Like, I don't think that I would, and again, this is maybe just me and my own confirmation bias, but I would like to believe that they are beyond violence, that they don't have to be violent, or that they don't see it as that. I don't know. I mean, and that is my own confirmation bias, but it's sort of like, that is just sort of the most base human nature response to trying to find out something bigger than yourself. Than, you know, it's not solving any purpose.
Well, sir, yeah. And I mean,
besides rhetoric. And again, like, I think rhetoric sells in this scenario.
Well, that's the thing.
As it does in so many others.
That's the thing. It is just rhetoric, you know? Yeah. But the thing is, too, at the same time, this is like a group of people who. So again, not trying to like belittle the UFO community or the people involved or anything else, but it is a fast turnaround from believing the government has secrets to thinking that the government needs to be attacked. It is a very slippery slope from. Yeah. And again, if you believe that the government should be disclosing these things, the last thing you want to do then is have your group appear to be making even just like stupid threats like this. You know, like, is this a threat? I don't know, but it's super dumb to post it.
Well, yeah. And I don't know. I mean, do you think so? Here's a bigger thing. A bigger question. Do you think that the idea of disclosure is a MacGuffin in itself? Like, do you think that there is something, like, to your point that you said, well, disclosure is going to be this watershed moment where it's just going to be one thing and everything is going to cave and everybody's going to be like, oh, holy shit, they were right all along. But I mean, do you think, like, I kind of am wondering if it's not a total MacGuffin, and like, what if the government doesn't have what we think they have?
Okay, so... This is kind of the funny thing. And this is like people. Every time I make this argument, I feel like a fucking lunatic because people are like, no, that's so conspiratorial or whatever. But OK, but let's think about this, right? Mm-hmm. We just had a number and we still have continuing attacks on the U.S. population and government where governments like Russia or China are using social media and the internet to do information warfare.
Yes.
And that information warfare takes the shape of spreading disinformation or misinformation or propaganda, right? So things like, you know, the military is getting too gay, so you can't fight a war, right? That's the Ted Cruz thing recently. Or, you know, the election was stolen or... Mm-hmm. Voter fraud is a real threat or, you know,
division, whatever it is,
it's right? Cultural it's division. Just cultural division. And that happened through like forums and message boards and whatever. And it spawned QAnon and it spawned the January 6th insurrection and it spawned all these other things.
Right.
a lot of those same thought processes that are kind of the germs for QAnon,
right,
are there in the UFO community.
Yeah.
The government is hiding secrets from us.
Yep.
The government has information and technology that help them outlive us, outspend us, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The government has access to the divine that they're hiding from the population.
Mm-hmm.
The government is letting people be experimented on.
Yep.
Maybe.
Yep. Yep.
And so to act like that is just not part of the UFO history or lore or whatever is just, uh-huh. It's just silly. It's not true. And so I actually kind of see this going two different ways. And this is so funny because the people claiming that, like, this is the most serious national security threat we've faced in decades, and so the government has to investigate UFOs, are also the first ones to say, well, no, the government doesn't care that much about the UFO community. Right? I actually think that the bigger threat is not that UFOs maybe are zapping around in our skies. It's that there's this community of people, like, whether or not they believe in UFOs or QAnon or whatever, there's like a community of people in our population who are easy to trick with propaganda.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Like if Stephen Greer can trick people to like watch his YouTube videos and consume this kind of stuff and like come to the desert with him to look for UFOs, then China can convince us that an election was stolen or that the president's a secret Kenyan or that whatever, you know? So to me, like, that's the threat here. Like, and so even if you're in the UFO community, like, having all these kind of like flamboyant characters out there talking about all this stuff and whatever, you're just like, you know, you're just wearing neon green being like, investigate us. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, again, like, if you want this to be taken seriously, then you need to separate it from like conspiracy theory. And especially after January 6th, you know, look at how much damage is done by a couple of people shitposting on Facebook. You know?
Yeah. Well, I think that's sort of the level of rhetoric and misinformation. It is really impossible to get out from under that.
And so,
I mean, you've seen that with QAnon and everything else. Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, and so to get to your initial point, your initial question, right, which was, what if the government comes out and says, we don't have anything on UFOs?
Well, no one's going to believe them. Right?
But
hiding something.
But I think the next logical question then for the military, for senators, for the media, for whoever to ask is, well, then how the fuck did we get tricked into looking into it? Right? Like, if there's nothing here, if all of this is nothing.
Right.
Then what the hell? Like, there's a huge community of people who believe in this. So what does that mean? Like, to say that conspiracy theory or like, again, I personally believe in UFOs. I believe people have UFO experiences. I think that there's something to investigate here. I don't know what the reality is of it. I don't know if these are really ships or if there's people having psychic connections. Or I don't know what the hell it is, but like, you know,
I just don't know if there's a treasure trove of information.
No. And so it's already set up for like, it sounds so cynical and shitty, but like, I think this is just set up for failure because like you said, the government comes out and says, we don't have anything.
Or here's what we have. And it's like a bunch of blurry photos.
Right. Or here's what we have.
Exactly what you have.
Or here's what we have. It's exactly what you guys have.
Yeah.
The people who believe in disclosure will not accept that as an answer.
They won't. Of course they won't.
So,
what
does it do? It just deepens the conspiracy. Oh, my God. Even the senators couldn't find out about disclosure.
Or they're in on it.
They
just put up a brave face and did this and they're in on it.
Yeah.
Of course.
So it's just.
They're always in on it.
You know, and so people acting that like. It's very frustrating, too, to have like the mainstream media now get involved with this. Because, like, here's the thing. So Corbell has released some interesting videos from supposedly from military members, right? They look like they come from, like, inside of, like, Navy ships or whatever. Mm-hmm. More witnesses have come out now, right? So mm-hmm. two new witnesses have come out of the, like, Tic Tac event, mm-hmm. who seem fairly credible and are, you know, quite nice people, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, more people are, like, coming out and now talking about this. But for every serious person out there talking about this as, like, this was a military thing, I saw this, like, this thing was flying near my aircraft, like my fighter jet, you have, you know, people on the internet talking about, you know, the whatever, all the non-serious or all the stuff that they want to be separated from. So it's just, like, a very, I think, overall, just, like, a very, I don't know, it's just very mismanaged, I guess. And of course, like, it's not, you know, uh-huh. it's not like, it just makes you think that it's not serious. You know,
what I think is really interesting about it is that when the original New York Times article on disclosure came out, like, yo, how many years ago that, like, what year was that?
Oh, God, that was like,
right. But that was a long time ago, right? It got very little play, got very little like social and cultural traction. Right now, I feel like. That was a different era, but it was, and this is, you know, and again, people hate it when we get political, so I'm trying not to, but, like, that was a different, almost, I hate to say different administration, but that happened in a different era. Now you're moving into something where people believe in QAnon, right? The idea of the conspiracy theory has gone from sort of this sublimated, you know, conspiracy theories are thought up by losers to figure out how to control and interact with their world, to it being sort of a more prevalent cultural belief that's pretty scary. And I just can't help but wonder, like, that this is germinating from that, right? That the idea of disclosure is not so different, like you were saying, than sort of the idea of QAnon. That they're all, like, even though what I think is hysterical is, like, QAnon is really big into saying that this is some sort of a cover up, right? But this is all sort of a big lie just to cover up a voter fraud, that their government is saying all this stuff about disclosure. But I mean, it really kind of comes, I think it comes from the same yeah. seed, the same poison seed.
No, I think so for sure. I mean, the interesting thing is, so the, besides it coming from, like, the same seed, right? Mm-hmm. It also just has more, I think, like, UFO people assume that the evidence is so overwhelming for this mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that, again, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how silly some of it sounds or looks. Yep. Yeah, it doesn't.
Isn't that what QAnon believes too?
Yeah.
Like, ultimately the storm is coming, and they're going to be arrests. There's going to be public executions.
Yeah.
Like, to believe in something that extreme, or that it's a, you know, that the senators and Hillary Clinton and, you know, Soros, it's a,
well, and Mike Pence and all of them are like, yeah. I mean, the
hang Mike Pence. I mean, to get to that point, like, I feel like they feel like that there's that much information, just like you said, that it's and when it comes when it is disclosed, when the storm arrives, you know, it's almost like the rapture.
Well, yeah. And so I think that, again, it's sort of people are really getting whipped up into a frenzy. And, like, again, if. Like, I made this case on Twitter, and people were like, you know, oh, my God, you sound like a nutcase or whatever. But it's like, like, I don't know, man. That. Like, I think that, you know, all it takes is one person in the chain of command to be more skeptical than I am, mm-hmm. which I don't think is really a hard bar to pass. Mm-mm. All it takes is one person to be more skeptical than I am, than we are, really. And then all of it falls apart. Like, that's the other part of this, too, is like, you know, even UFO researchers are like saying, like, well, look at this web of connection between all these people. Like, you got this one group that's led by, you know, kind of the military camp of this, which mm-hmm. seems to be kind of pushing this and whatever. And, you know, maybe we don't agree with their goals, but they're trying to stay, you know, serious or whatever the hell. And then you got this other kind of group of people who are kind of at the sidelines, pushing all this other stuff out. And mm-hmm. it just creates like a, I don't know, man. I mean, you know, from the perspective of people who are like interested in this stuff, like I am, or into this or mm-hmm. whatever, mm-hmm. you know, it's just, I think it just is hard to, it's hard to think that it's going to do anything but hurt this like subject. You know, like the most effective PR campaign for UFOs mm-hmm. in the last like 20 years was the X-Files. Mm-hmm. Really?
Kinda. Yeah.
It was the X-Files.
It's true.
and so, you know, thinking that like you need, you know, UFOs have gotten popular despite ufology and ufologists, you know. It is not, I don't think it's been because of them. And so now they're like, oh, we gotta jump on this now and whatever. But it's like, but you, like, nothing you guys have done has really worked. Like, I don't know. So, you know, and again, maybe that's just my own like personal feelings or whatever. Like, we haven't done surveys on like, you know, well, what has changed your mind on UFOs or what makes you think they're real or whatever. Like, I bet Ancient Aliens has turned a lot of people too, you know, into believing this stuff. Like, I guarantee that Ancient Aliens has had an effect in that way. And the History Channel has had an effect in that way. So, you know, that's kind of my two cents. So yesterday I got on a Twitter rant basically where I was like, you know, even if this is just a song lyric saying that, like, you know, you got to weaponize your curiosity and we got to get active and, you know, we're not going to stop till the bodies hit the floor and whatever. Like, it's, okay, it's bad optics. It also, like, we kind of dance around this all the time, but like people that are attracted to like conspiracy theories or things like this mm-hmm, mm-hmm. tend to be more easily radicalized. So it's like, all it takes is one crazy dude with a gun, and then all this government interest in UFOs evaporates immediately. Like, you know, it's not.
Well, yeah. So the only thing I put out on Twitter yesterday is sort of about that. And that is, like, to me, that's the idea of it. This is what's coming out of this is the enemy, right? Like, you're looking at government as the enemy or saying, oh, they're hiding something. And it's like, it's a quote. It's a random quote from Moby Dick, which is, if your bitterest foe was walking straight towards you with dagger uplifted in broad day, you would not be able to see him. Right? Which is pretty much this, right? Which is the idea, like, the worst thing that could come out of this is that there will be no objective proof of alien life or of UFOs, right? And that is what all of this, you know, fermenting of violence and conspiracy and, kind of thing brings out, is you will not get that.
Well, you know, it's like when a prophet or somebody in a cult or whatever comes out and says the world will end on June 1st.
Yep.
And then June 1st comes and nothing happens.
Yep.
That is what I think, you know, then that's the threat, right? For people who this has become like the defining characteristic of their life, or, you know, the most important thing that happened to them, or it's like, you know, they were an experiencer and they've been traumatized by it. And now this is a chance for them to finally show all the skeptics that they weren't lying and this was all real and whatever. This is like not fair to them. This is not fair to those people. So, anyways,
it denies them the chance to actually have an answer.
Yes.
Which I think is what everybody wants. Like, your demand for an answer doesn't supersede the answer.
Exactly. And that to me is the whole issue here, right? Is that it's
dig it.
The things that are happening are not to help get an answer out. They're to like increase people's right. fame or to right. get people to buy books or to get people to go on cruises or go to conferences or whatever. And it's like, well, if you really cared about the answer, or if you really cared about the people who have been affected by this, mm-hmm. You wouldn't act this way, you know. But then again, it. This is going to go into our next episode. Like, is that kind of paternalistic or like? Sometimes it almost feels like, you know, skeptics and even myself for sure come across or like think about this in this way where it's like, oh, we need to protect these dumb people from what they believe.
No, so and I like, don't think that that's. Yeah, I can see where you're going and why that would be the case. But I think that it's more like, look, it's for the things that I really want to know, or the things that are like that. Again, like I think that there are going to be people that are going to push things or that are going to push an agenda that eventually will eclipse the actual thing you're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
Right. You can look at it for anything. And the reason that they are doing something like that almost has nothing to do with finding an answer.
Yeah.
To your point.
No. Yeah.
They may believe it does, but it truthfully doesn't, because again, it's like the ends justify the means. It's like, no, what you're doing is harming things more than hurting. And it's not just a couple people. It's everyone.
Yeah.
Right. So it's not just a few dumb people. It's like all of us.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing, too. Right. Like the people that are into this aren't dumb. They're not. Mm-hmm. They're not mm-hmm. stupid. People that have had experiences mm-hmm. aren't dumb. They're not stupid. They're not whatever. Like none of that stuff.
All of us.
None of that stuff is true.
They're people.
Yeah. They're just people. But you know, mm-hmm. To take advantage of their belief or to take advantage of their like hope for something, or even, and again, it's not even necessarily taking advantage of it, to not be careful,
weaponize it.
To not be careful in your stewardship of that.
Yes.
I think is bad. Yeah. It's not something that should
and
be supported.
To not recognize that you're responsible to a greater thing. Again, if you want to believe in, if you want to talk about quasi religious things, you're responsible to a greater good. That greater good goes beyond your own self-interest.
Yeah, 100%. All right, let's, where are we with that? We're going to finish this episode,
disclosure.
Listeners. Disclosure. So Marie, what do you think? Is disclosure going to happen?
Of course it's not going to happen, because I'm going to hold to the idea that there's nothing to disclose, that they've got a couple files full of stuff that are just like, here's something crazy we saw, and then we talked to people, and they were like, it was nuts, and that's it. Like all good people saying it was nuts. It was really bright. And then it flew away. And then here's a blurry picture. That's all we got.
I am going to hang my hat on the more cynical view, which is that whatever they disclose, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Yeah.
Because skeptical people more skeptical than us are going to look at the report and then look at the people who commissioned it and then look at their sources. And it's going to lead back to people that are easy to say aren't credible.
Yep. I'm going to rabbit hole that. Yep.
Exactly. All right. Until next time, dear listeners. Thank you again, dear listeners, for listening to the Mad Scientist Podcast. I have been your host, Chris Cogswell, joined by my co-host,
Marie Mayhew.
If you'd like to contact the show, please send us an email at themadscientistpodcast@gmail.com. That's all one word. You can also follow us on Twitter @madscientistpod or @teamgiantsquid for Marie. And of course, you can see us on Facebook, on Instagram, and all over the internet as the Mad Scientist Podcast. And again, our logo is the one with the pumpkin head, so it's easy to see.
Mm-hmm.
If you've enjoyed the show tonight, please consider supporting us on Patreon, where the money that you give to us will help us to promote this show further, to make it better, and just to spend more time making it.
Yes, we love doing that.
We do love doing that. Our logo was designed by Carrie Shaheen. Our web design is done by Desdemona Howard.
Woohoo!
And our sound design is done by Jake Cardinal. Thanks again for listening.
Thank you. This has been a Damn It Chippy production.